All right, y'all. What's going on? What's going on? Welcome back to another episode of Hashtag CB99 Talks. This is episode 125. Of course, I'm Combo Breaker 99. All right, y'all, back with another one, guys. You know, like I said, schedule's been off. You know, I've been trying to do these every Tuesday for a while now. You know, they've just been coming at least once a week, right? That's all we can ask for right now. So this one's probably going to be up sometime tonight, like within an hour on this Friday. Because, yeah, we got some fights coming up this weekend I want to talk about. But, yeah, we had a good WMMA event this past Wednesday. You know, it's pretty decent. You know, I just want to kind of give you my review, of course, on Invicta FC 53 and, you know, kind of go into the different fights. And if there's any other fighters on this card that y'all need to look out for, you know, I like to fill y'all in on that type of stuff. But, yeah, make sure y'all subscribe, hit the like, and I keep on, you know, supporting WMMA. And y'all can keep on commenting, asking me questions, and talking about your favorite fighters, whether you're whining or giving the sport props, right? So yeah, man, we back with another one. Yeah, like I said, this weekend we got some fights I'm looking forward to. Last weekend was okay. You know, it wasn't really like a major weekend, nothing really big going on. I mean, the weekend before that was kind of crazy. You know, it was like everything was going down, you know, Bellator, UFC, underground organizations, all of that, right? But the weekend, the past weekend was the Haley Cohen fight, Haley Cohen versus Jamie Lynn Horth. Shout out to Jamie Lynn Horth. I mean, you know, she made weight. She came in, did what she had to do. She got the victory, right? You know, and that's what I wanted to see. Somebody that made weight and, you know, was coming in there dedicated, disciplined. You know, Haley Cohen, no knock against her, but I expected her to make weight because, you know, she's somebody that the UFC's really kind of been trying to push right now, right? And she still needs to grow, in my opinion. Jamie Lynn Horth won that fight last weekend. Irina Aksleva, first round knee bar against Stephanie Edgar after missing weight by 4 pounds, you know. So, you know, we'll have to talk about the bantamweight division one of these days and just, you know, kind of go into what this thing is becoming. It's like a mutant, you know, it's like a hybrid. It's like bantamweight filled with featherweights and bantamweight. That featherweights that shoot bantamweights be featherweights, and fighters that can't make weight, and so on. You know, it's just a mess over there right now. But yeah, like I said, nothing going on this past weekend. But let's go back and talk about Invicta FC 53. And, you know, then I'm going to kind of go in and give you all my breakdown prediction for the strawweight fights coming up this weekend. And we'll kind of talk about Nunes Aldana a little and Chris Cyborg re-signing to Bellator and what that means at this point. All right. So yeah, Invicta FC 53. Another good card, you know, decent. I can't complain this time because the card did have a few finishes. You know, we did get a couple of finishes. We had some fighters coming in there raw, going after the finish. And I can't complain. I will say that some of the fighters on the card, you know, they still got to grow. And that's what this is. This is Invicta FC, you know. I believe, like, the early stages of Invicta, like, a decade ago, it was kind of like lightning in a bottle a little bit, you know, where you just had those fighters that were really showing out and they were really making them crazy statements back then. Like when you had Nunes, Tisha, Cyborg, Marlos Conan, you know, a lot of those fighters were already established before they came to an all women organization. They were already fighting for like Strike Force and all of that. Right. So they already had like these different levels, but some of these girls are just still coming in and developing. So I'm trying to definitely respect them. I'm not trying to hold them to the same standard. But, you know, as the game evolves, you do want to see that type of level again. But Invicta, they're bringing in girls that are just making their debut that are, you know, still coming in fresh. So you're going to get a mix. You're going to have veterans from UFC coming through and some of these fighters that are starting out. So, yeah, the first fight on the card was between Kai Bennett and Kendall Holloway. Kai Bennett, she got a second round finish over Kendall Holloway, matching records that came in at 2-2 apiece. To me, again, this is another raw fight. You know, this was kind of a raw flyweight fight. You know, Kai Bennett, she's still kind of growing, but I like the fact that she was using her strength in her clinch game. She was using what was working for her. Kendall Holloway just couldn't really handle the pressure. You know, she had no striking. She had no footwork to just keep a good distance from her opponent. Her opponent rushed her. Kai Bennett was really just like putting a lot of pressure on the first round, kind of like Macy Barber with the pressure, you know, just clinching her up, landing these big left hands. At a distance, like, the striking game of both fighters still needs work, you know, especially when Kai Bennett, you know, she was swinging a lot of just telegraphed left hands and no rights, you know. But as time goes on, yeah, she wanted to mix it up with one twos, but this fight she was throwing a lot of left hands, and as she closed in, they were landing more and more and just really doing a lot of damage to Holloway, a lot of knees. Good takedown for Kai Bennett. And when she got her down in the second round, just a lot of work from those elbows. She didn't really answer anything, so the referee went on and stopped it. I mean, she was taking a lot of, like, there wasn't really any blood, but she was taking a lot of damage. So, yeah, Kai Bennett definitely earned that stoppage. Next fight on the card was, let's see. Let me go through this list here. We had, okay. All right, we had Lily Fioria versus Flora Hernandez. And this is another fight where you see boxer versus MMA striker, all right? The Brazilian, Fioria, she came in with more of a mixed striking game and just an overall mixed game plan, good footwork. Flora Hernandez, she came in with more of like a boxing offense, you know, just trying to walk her opponent down and land, you know, more offensive boxing shots, you know, just throwing heavy blows. Landed a few shots here and there, but it was Fioria who had more power on her shots. You know, the way she was letting go off the back foot. You know, she would kind of lean on her foot at the same time. She was kind of light at the same time. You know, she was light, and then she would still turn in her shots and land some big shots. Then she would circle out. You know, she would continue this, like, nice lateral movement, and she would mix it up in these rounds where whenever she would mix it up, she would step in behind her strikes and get some takedowns. So, you know, I like the well-rounded game of Fioria. You know, she was striking, getting takedowns, striking, showcasing her grappling. Flora Hernandez didn't really have a ground game. Like, she was landing punches here and there, but she really had no follow-up game, you know. So, yeah, just watch this fight if you really want to know what a boxer will look like if they come into the MMA game with no wrestling and no balanced footwork. See, Fioria, she came in with more of a kickboxing stance, moving around, you know, throwing kicks. She got tagged with a couple of shots. I believe she got hit with a kick in the neck in the third round. But other than that, you know, she still came back and controlled the fight with the takedown. So, yeah, that was some good overall well-rounded skills by Fioria. I want to see more of this atom weight, you know, as the division grows or as she moves up. All right, I know this, everybody's looking forward to this flyweight fight between Liana Parisen. I always called it Parisen, but they were pronouncing it Parisen, like kerosene. So, okay, I'm going to call it Parisen. All right, Elise Pone, you know, she just came in with this game face. You know, she came in with this hardcore attitude once again. She just wants to get the victory, and she's just there to fight. You know, I got to respect Elise Pone. Like, I don't know what level she's trying to reach right now, but I respect her just coming in to fight. And that's what she did against Parisen. You know, she came in, put a lot of pressure on Parisen. I believe the first round, I want to say it was the first round, was kind of close, where I would say Parisen, she landed more shots, like knees to the body. And it was in the second round where Pone started to take over a little bit more. You know, she started to land more shots. Now on the ground, Parisen was effective, but Pone was still trying. Like, she was able to reverse some of these positions on the ground as Parisen was trying to, you know, get her back a few times. You know, she was able to get out of danger. Second round, I think that's where Pone started to take over and do damage with the elbows and busting up Parisen, opening up a cut. And then the third round, she just came with the same kind of game plan. Just a lot of raw fighting from Pone. Like I said, not a lot of great skill from her, but she'll just let her hands go and put on a fight. And even at her age, like I said, that's what I'm expecting at like 38. You know, she's just coming in there to prove something and fight. But at this point, if this is the level she reaches, I could see her fighting for a belt, you know, in Invicta FC. Like, signing to the UFC one day, that's a different story at this age, I'm just being real. But with the level she's fighting at, I think she could, you know, get to that point and fight for a belt, you know, because Ketlin Souza just got signed to the UFC, you know, so the belt is vacant now. So who knows? It'll probably go between her and, like, Christina Williams or something like that, you know. So, yeah, Elise Pone got her decision win. Next fight on the card. This was a decent fight, too. Once again, this is like the previous fight, Monique Adrian versus Nicole Giraldo. Once again, Brazil versus Mexico. And again, you see Adrian with more of a mixed game plan here. Her boxing was much more effective. And this is what I'm talking about here. Like, I understand, like, when a fighter is putting on effective pressure, like when you're coming forward, the judges should score it, but effective shots should be behind it. And Adrian was walking Giraldo down and landing good punches. Now, Giraldo was also landing shots in the first round, but she was getting walked down, like she wasn't getting any respect. Like Geraldo would land these nice body kicks, but she couldn't follow up with anything because Adrian was always in her face landing nice combinations. You know, the first two rounds was just her getting outstruck by Adrian. You know, once again, Geraldo's coming in with his boxing IQ and, you know, moving around kind of like Alexa Grasso, but doing like Valentina, where she was throwing these extra shots, like these spinning back fists, spinning back elbows, and they were just off. Like Adrian would just duck under a counter puncher or land her stiff jab and then come back with the right hand. Good 1-2s from Adrian. Geraldo was just, you know, getting pieced up later on, even in the second round. Like she was just getting picked apart in the second round, in my opinion. Then the third round, Adrian just, you know, put a cap on it, took the fight to the ground, and just showed her grappling skills. So once again, these Brazilian fighters, they're coming up with their striking IQ. I like the MMA striking purely. Like I'm saying, like I'm using that term a lot now because I'm trying to get it in even the fighters that listen to this channel, their head, even the fans, like to say, you know, this is what MMA striking is. You know, there has to be a certain type of fluidity to it where you have to get out of danger and you have to be on your guard and you have to be ready to get in and get out so you don't get taken down or you're not too heavy on your front feet, you know, eating it, getting chopped down, you know, eating heavy leg kicks, you know. So Adrian, to me, was controlling this whole fight with effective pressure, just all around good skills. All right. And jump into strawweight. Jessica Del Boni moving up to strawweight. All right, former champ after losing to Jillian DeCourcy, taking on the veteran Danielle Taylor. This wasn't like a great fight to me. You know, I was picking Jessica Del Boni to win this fight, even if she's moving up. She didn't look her best. Like she looked a little slower in this fight. You know, maybe as she continues to fight more at 115, she'll put on a little bit more muscle and trim down. She looked a little bit slower, but she was still effective. Like she's a good Muay Thai striker. You know, she has good leg kicks. Danielle Taylor, once again, just not firing off enough to me. You know, just not letting her shots go. You know, she's just not following up. Like she'll throw these quick singles, but she'll never follow up. Like I know she lacks the reach, but that's something they have to work on in training. Like, you know, I've worked with these shorter fighters before, you know, just even in boxing, and I can see them staying in the, well, again, this is boxing. So, but I will use this comparison. Like there are some fighters I know they work on a certain type of speed training and speed drills when they're this short so they can get in at least one or two shots and get out. You know, sometimes Danielle Taylor, she's just standing there landing one shot. And I think if she would follow up with maybe, you know, the 1-2, she needs to quickly grab for like a tie clinch and land the knee so her opponent doesn't like time her and get a takedown. Then she land that knee and get right back out. You know, like Tisha Torres, you know, short as she is, you know, she gets her combinations off. Not a lot of power, but she gets her combinations off. So I think Danielle Taylor, you know, that's something they gotta break that habit. Can they break it at this point? I don't know. She's only 33, but that's something she has to work. So she was just really getting outworked and walked down in this fight because Jessica Del Boni was just putting the pressure on her at a point against the cage and at a range, just chopping away at the leg kicks and just landing good right hands and, you know, mixing it up on, you know, good combinations. So from here, we'll see what's up with Jessica Del Boni. Taking on Danny McCormick, I believe that would be a good fight. But Jessica Del Boni, that's kind of like a style made for her, I believe. But even if she was to fight some of these other strawweights, I don't see her beating them. Like Fatima Klein, Fatima Klein is a big strawweight. Like say if she had to fight somebody like Fatima Klein just to really get acclimated to the weight, I could see Fatima Klein winning that fight. Because you got to remember, Fatima Klein did help. She did help Jillian DeCourcy in that training leading up to that fight, I believe, with Jessica Del Boni, who just Jillian DeCourcy submitted, right? She was able to submit. So somebody much bigger and stronger, you know, might give Jessica Del Boni problems like that. So, yeah, that's just how I see as far as how that goes. But Danielle Taylor, I believe she wants to keep going, you know, just needs to put in that work. I don't think she'll get cut from Invicta, but, you know, she just needs to continue to improve as a fighter, you know. All right. Co-main event was interesting, man. This one was an interesting fight. Olga Rubin versus Claire Guthrie. Like Claire Guthrie, but I knew Olga had a good chance in this fight. I was really thinking Olga Rubin was going to control this fight when it came to the stand-up, and Claire Guthrie would constantly get takedowns. But it was an unusual fight. You know, Claire Guthrie was able to control a lot of the clinch games just on the cage, you know, using her wrestling. Very effective. Good strategy as far as just smothering the bigger fighter. Olga Rubin was really looking slow in the beginning. Like I expected Olga to use the power in her legs early on just to kind of, you know, create distance and, you know, cut some angles like she did against Sarita De Jesus, you know, throw that left hand down the pipe. But she was just really getting out pressured, and she really had no breathing room. You know, I got to give Claire Guthrie some credit for attacking her opponent the way she did. But she was really giving up a lot in height and size in this fight. And, you know, it was just a matter of time because she muscled and put a lot of pressure on Olga Rubin, but Olga Rubin never really did go to the ground. Like, finally, when the takedown came, it was just kind of like an ease down. It wasn't like anything too big from Claire Guthrie. And as Claire Guthrie was on top, trying to control in that side position, just so unusual. Like, as her head was kind of like in the midsection of Olga Rubin, Olga Rubin just put that leg over the top and put those big legs to use. That's what I was saying. Like, she wasn't using them on the feet. I was glad that she was actually starting to use that physique and, you know, that strength. And as she locked in that head, you know, it was just like all of a sudden Claire Guthrie was tapping and there was a buggy choke. And I was like, I had to play that back many a time. Like, I still got to go back and just like break that whole transition down on how quick it happened. But that's how quick those buggy chokes are, man. Like, if you just find that opening, which Olga Rubin did, and, you know, you just secure it, that's how quick they can happen. So, you know, shout out to Olga Rubin. You know, she was behind, of course. You know, it's like second round finish, right? Wait a minute, let me check here. Yeah, but second round finish, but Claire Guthrie was in control. But like I said, there should have came a point where Claire kind of slowed it down, found some breathing room, because she was dealing with a big fighter that had a lot of durability. Like, she was not really doing damage to. She was just pretty much putting a lot of pressure on, but never really doing damage. So Olga was always game in this fight, even though she was behind. Like, there could have came a point where she would have created distance, maybe landed a big shot too. Still not count Claire Guthrie out. I think it was just a bad game plan on her part. You know, a little setback. She can continue to fight on Olga Rubin. That's two wins for her, right? Sarita De Jesus and Claire Guthrie. I believe she should get to fight Talita Bernardo next, right? And if she beats her, then rematch against Tanisha Tennant, fight for the belt again, right? So we'll see how that goes. Yeah, that was a crazy submission, though, man. I might have to do a quick breakdown of these buggy chokes, because they're just it's just so weird sometimes how they pop in like that. Let me see. And the main event, and I did show y'all this, right? We did talk about this, right? Yeah, we did. All right. Jillian DeCourcy versus Rayan Dos Santos. All right. So I was leaning towards Dos Santos in this one just off of the past few fights I've seen from her and just her being a much more well-rounded, youthful fighter. You know, Jillian DeCourcy, definitely not knocking her. You know, I believe she is a well-rounded fighter for her, you know, for her skill set and her age. But, you know, fighters like this, you know, they're just coming in there and they're going at it. I mean, the experience that Rayan Dos Santos has at her age, you know, is pretty impressive. And I've just seen some of her performances and her movement. I knew it was going to be trouble in this fight. And it was just round after round. Like, Rayan Dos Santos just was always one step ahead with her striking, just landing some effective blows, you know, good jabs and, you know, good straight punches, and just really, you know, keeping Jillian DeCourcy at bay with these shots. And Jillian DeCourcy could not find her range. Like, she couldn't find a range with, she couldn't find a range with the right hand in this fight. And that kind of took away the intimidation factor, that knockout power coming like it did against the Lindsey Van Zandt fight, right? So from there, you know, Rayan just controlled the fight, landed, I believe, a good right hand that opened a cut on the left eye, and then also like overhand that busted that cauliflower ear open. So, you know, there was a lot of blood in this fight. So first two rounds, I think, were secure for Rayan Dos Santos. Third, I believe Jillian started getting a few of her licks in. I think that was a round I would give her. I have to go back and look again. It was either third or fourth. Jillian, of course, might have won one round there when she started letting off more kicks as Dos Santos slowed down. I believe it was a fourth round where Dos Santos started to slow down when she started eating more kicks. Like, her combinations weren't flowing as much. But into the fifth round, yeah, Dos Santos, you know, back in control again. And, you know, even in this fight, just the ground game, like the takedowns of Dos Santos, you know, she was in full control on the ground with her grappling skills. I'd say it was about 4-1. You know, it was about 4-1 for Dos Santos. So, yeah, got a new atomweight champion. And, yeah, that was the card. I think it was a decent card. Like I said, you had a few finishes. And for the level that these girls are on that are growing, you got a good example of, like I said, you know, fighters that are good at using their striking to get takedowns and just growing. Like, the fighters on this card, I say you have to look out for, of course, the atomweight champion, Rayan Dos Santos. I'm looking forward to seeing what Olga Rubin can do in her championship fight, if she can, you know, make it there. if they give her that fight. I think she's already there now. I say look out for, let me see, what was her name? Monique Adrian. I say look out for her. Kai Bennett, you know, she's still raw talent. Let's see what's up with her. Definitely not UFC ready or anything like that, but we just have to watch her growth. And the other young lady, let me see, it was another Adam Waite fight, right? Hold on. What was that other Adam Waite fight that we, yeah, Lilia Fiari. Yeah, that's another Adam Waite that we need to look out for. But pretty much just here, you know, the Adam Waite, we're just going to just watch out for him here because the UFC hasn't come out with the division yet. So, I mean, at this point, you know, 105-pound division is needed. You know, because there's a lot of girls that are fighting at high levels here. You get a lot of excitement, a lot of striking, you know, a lot of fast movement for these girls, a lot of entertainment from these girls. So, yeah, decent card, not their best, but, you know, I enjoyed it for what it was. You know, we'll look out for the next one. All right. So, yeah, moving on. Let's see. So we jump into the fights. Well, we'll hold off on that. Let's jump to this quick piece of news. So, yeah, Chris Cyborg just re-signed to Bellator for another multi-fight deal, just to fill everybody in. Yeah, she's not going anywhere. She hasn't vacated the belt. She was still considered champion, even whenever she was considered a free agent. You know, she was still the champion because she was just in negotiations. And, you know, I've seen some people comment saying, oh, she don't want to go anywhere else because this is easy. Well, she's already gone everywhere at this point. You know, Chris Cyborg's already cleaned out organizations. You know, she's already went to Strike Force from the jump, Invict FC, the UFC, Bellator. What else left is there at this point, right? And I don't think it's a point where she's looking at invincible now anyways. You know, I think, you know, the fighters are getting better to a point where somebody along the way, depending on how long she stays, they could give her some trouble, you know. I don't see anybody right now at Bellator, but I'm just saying, like, the longer she stays around, some of these other fighters on the come up could catch up. You never know. So yeah, she chose to sign back with Bellator. You know, they've been treating her well. You know, I believe the money is good. You know, Wiley, when she's a dominant champion at this point, you know, the UFC is not working with her like they are. Sarah McMahon seems to like it. You know, her manager got her a good deal there. You know, a lot more money than UFC. You know, so with Chris Cyborg re-signing, now we'll see if Kat calls her out straight up now, because, you know, last time out, Kat said it was for, I don't know if it's going to be for the vacant belt or this crazy lady or something is leaving. You know how she was talking, right? So I want to see it now. Like, she just re-signed. So, hey, let's take the Twitter, call out for this fight. If she re-signed, the next fight should be Kat Zingano, Chris Cyborg versus Kat Zingano. If not, I'm going to be campaigning for Sarah McMahon to get her shot then. Like, if Kat doesn't jump on it now that the news is out that Bellator's re-signed Chris Cyborg, I say Sarah McMahon can jump up front. Sarah McMahon came in with a good statement win, 30-27, Arlene Blanco, and she looks good at 145. So, hey, Sarah McMahon might be able to jump ahead. I'm going to post that on a community post. I know a lot of people are going to say Kat because she's been there longer, but I'm just saying, like, Sarah McMahon says she wants it. Sarah McMahon, that's why she's here. You know, she wants to get it. She wants to set some legacy milestone there. You know, she's 42 as well, so she wants to get it. And I'm all for the fighter that really wants to get it. Like, I think Kat wants it. I'm not sure. I don't know what to think at this point. You know, why this fight hasn't happened when she's been there for like 2-3 years now, right? So hopefully, you know, they just go ahead and make this thing, because Chris, I believe she's got a few more years in her before she goes off to boxing. I believe she was just waiting for negotiations, and it turned out right for her. So yeah, she's back in the house, right? So we'll see if she continues her dominant reign. Okay. All right. And speaking of a former featherweight, still bantamweight. Okay. So next month we got UFC 289 bantamweight title fight between Amanda Nunes and Irene Aldana. For all of y'all that don't know, Juliana Pena had to pull out due to a rib injury. And, you know, I know a lot of people were cheering for that. And, you know, like I said, I wanted this fight to happen. I'm not going to cheer on Pena's downfall or her injury like that. You know what I mean? Like, I in no way wanted to see it happen off of an injury. You know what I mean? Like, Juliana Pena, I believe that she needed another fight to stay sharp, but not in this fashion. Okay. She needed to get out of this fight and take another fight. Like, no, not sit the sideline and be damaged. No, not like that. Okay. So yeah, with that out of the way, I do like this fight though. I'm a little bit more hyped because, you know, Irene Aldana is a different look for the champion. You know, Amanda Nunes was probably coming with more of a mind frame to go after somebody with less of a striking IQ here, but somebody with a less of a striking IQ, meaning Pena, right? So now she's going to have to really step it up on her boxing and take a different approach. But this being Amanda Nunes, you know, I believe Amanda Nunes has all the tools needed to go in there and give us what we can expect from Amanda Nunes, right? Like, there's some points. Well, I'll say this fight is like 60-70-30, but it's kind of leaning towards 60-40 because there's a lot of moments where I could see Irene Aldana getting the victory in a certain fashion where I'll say, I knew that would happen, you know, depending on how it goes, like depending on how she can measure her range and land certain counter punches, I could say these little things can happen, right? But we know Amanda Nunes and what she possesses and what she's seen before and how better her ground game is over Irene Aldana, where we could say, oh yeah, this can happen. You know, because going back and looking at Irene Aldana's fights, her striking is very effective. But once you take that away with clinch fighting on the, you know, against the cage fighting, or you take her down, you know, that's where it's kind of her downfall. You know, I was watching the Macy Chason fight. And yeah, she beat Macy on the feet. But then when Macy had that second round, Macy won it, you know, by taking her down. And then the third round started to go in Macy's favor when she took her down. But as Macy had stood, she didn't get stood up, as she took a stand, you know, she got back up, she ate that heel kick, right? And that stoppage came, but the fight was pretty competitive, right? The fight was pretty competitive when it would get mixed up like that, but when it would go to the ground, it would fall in her favor. So Amanda Nunes, you know, she still has that definitely going for her. Even the hand game, we never know like what she can land on Irene Aldana going into this fight. But like I said, with the training and the fierceness right now, and the inspiration coming from Alexa Grasso, hey, man, I wouldn't be surprised if Irene came in here and pulled this thing off. Like, I don't really see Irene being like this dominant champion, but we never know what she could be coming up with, cooking up to take on a fighter like Irene Aldana. You know, I'm just saying. I still think that both of these fighters have the power to stop each other. A man has the right hand. You know, she has the pressure. You know, she has the kicks, the all-around kick game, and just offense. But Irene has the measure. You know, she has the measuring stick here. You know, stick that jab out, and she's got the fluid left hook. You know, goes to the body and to the head. You know, so I want to see how Amanda reacts to that. You know, Amanda got knocked off balance a few times with the straight jab from a Pena, you know, who's throwing a basic jab, but from a basic striker. But let's see how she handles Irene Aldana, you know, who's more of a slicker striker. But the one thing I'm worried about here is, you know, Irene letting that dog go. But should I be worried at this point? Because Alexa, she let it go in the last fight. Alexa proved me wrong, finally. You know what I mean? Alexa finally came with the dog and showed us all up and got a finish over Valentina. So hopefully that's going to rub off and this makes it an interesting fight. But that's what we needed, man. Nunes Aldana is something different. And I think Pena needed this break away from Nunes. I think this was a sign. It happened for a reason. Everything happens for a reason. And I think this rib injury saved Pena from getting seriously injured against Amanda Nunes. And that's just my opinion, y'all. So yeah, let me know what y'all think of this fight. I like it. Hopefully Pena can come back stronger and maybe she'll take on somebody else. Hopefully they make her fight Rocky or something. I know Rocky is a stand, you know, she's a what do you call it? She's on standby. Rocky Pennington is on standby in case Nunes or Aldana has to pull out of this fight. Okay. So yeah, they got that lined up for Rocky Pennington, since she is number two. So yeah, we'll see what happens, y'all. Just leave y'all thoughts in the comment section. Okay. All right. So moving on, last topic here. Let's jump into the fights for tomorrow night. All right, y'all, just had a little bit of a technical difficulty with a few things just with the live stream, but yeah, I'm back. So yeah, let's jump back into this real quick. Tomorrow night, let's talk about the fights. I'm going to go ahead and give you my quick breakdown predictions for these two strawweight fights, because both of these fights could lead to maybe like a title eliminator or, once again, a title shot, right? Kind of like a strawweight bracket. All right. So first off, we got Marina Rodriguez taking on Verna Jandiroba. And like I was saying yesterday, Marina Rodriguez, shout out to this girl. You know, I'm a fan. She's been fighting for a long time, man. She's been fighting everybody in the division. And, you know, things just don't seem to be looking up for her. Well, they're not looking bad either, but it just seems like she's always in a position where the title shot is almost there, but not quite in the reach, right? And now, once again, she's having to fight down, and that makes it even harder again. You know, first time around against Lemos, you know, first she had a like nice 3-fight win streak against some legit fighters that should have secured her something close to a title shot or a Rose fight, right? But things didn't work out. I know a lot of fans were, you know, trying to say, oh, she got a title shot opportunity, but it was a short notice. You know, she should have taken it. But in my opinion, no, she doesn't deserve a short notice fight, title fight. You know, she deserves a legit title fight. Marina's been fighting for a while now. But, you know, they stick her again. Amanda Lemos winds up losing. Now she's in this position again to fight down against Verna Jandiroba. You know, high risk, low reward. Of course, this one isn't as bad. You know, Verna's a good fighter, but not on that dangerous level as Amanda Lemos was, right? You know, Verna Jandiroba, last fight out, I believe it was Angela Hill, right? She 30-27. Verna Jandiroba's got a very awkward style. You know, she's growing. You know, she's kind of in and out. She's getting stronger, kind of bigger, you know, working on that right hand and even her tie clinch. So she has that physical strength that could be a problem in this fight. But it's her ground game that I think is really the problem here, you know. But I don't really think she offers too much of a threat on the feet like some of the other fighters like Yan Zhana or Amanda Lemos. And that was the thing about Marina Rodriguez. Like, she would look like she was in danger against grapplers, but she would always come out on top. But it's actually other strikers that give her a problem. Like, Marina Rodriguez actually has a problem with other strikers now that I've really been studying and catching on to her a little bit more. Like, the Yan Zhana fight could have gave the Yan. Amanda Lemos stops her. You know, she's starting to have a little bit of a problem with those type of fighters. So now that I think about it, like, Rose would be a handful for her. You know, Rose's footwork would really be a handful. But we'll see, like, in this fight here, Verna, what she can bring to the table. Like, in this type of fight, I believe Verna needs to use something that Marina doesn't use often, and that's her long jab. You know, Verna's a long fighter, and I believe she needs to step in, you know, a little bit at an angle with her head off the line. You know, stick that jab in the face of Marina Rodriguez to the head, into the chest, to fight her way in and get the fight where she wants it. So the jab first and then fight a good physical clinch fight against the cage until she can get those tie clinch and use those knees to the body like she did against Dern. And then eventually, you know, wrestle her way to get these takedowns like she did against Angela Hill. So a very physical fight from Verna Jandiroba is needed, you know, fighting behind the jab and then surprise Marina with that right hand that she's been developing. And then just pushing her way in to be physical and get it to the ground like she did against Angela Hill. You know, just constant pressure and grappling, you know, because I think when she gets Marina to the ground, like, Marina has good survival skills. But once Verna gets into that groove on the top position, you know, those are her opportunities. I don't really think Verna can win just a pure stand-up battle against Marina. Marina Rodriguez here needs to develop that jab more. Like, she has a nice straight right hand, but she needs to start throwing her own jab in this case. So the right hand won't be telegraphed, and even like the push kicks, you know. So the jab, a lot of push kicks and good calf kicks from Marina Rodriguez in this type of fight. You know, blinding with the jab to set up the right hands. Stay away from the cage in this type of fight. And hopefully her ground game is improved. You know, I don't want to just see like pure defensive grappling. You know, I want to see her have, you know, a good scramble. And using ground and pound if she gets into a top position, you know, and then jump back up and repeat, you know, jab, mix it up on the feet, you know, more volume, you know, don't wait, you know, don't throw in singles in this type of fight. I think she needs to throw volume against Verna Jandiroba to get her respect. All right. So how I see this fight playing out, I think Marina Rodriguez still has the skills and the IQ. You know, she's faced so many different styles, I think, to pound out a decision against Verna Jandiroba, control the fight. Verna, like I said, she's dangerous on the ground, but there's still a level like I've seen her lacking even in the Carla Esparza fight and even Mackenzie Dern. Like, when she was in control with Mackenzie Dern at times, like, she wouldn't fully commit. You know, she wouldn't fully take over, even though I thought she won the fight. You know, so that's something that I think Marina could take advantage of here. When Marina gets settled in her style and she starts moving and grooving, and letting more punches and strikes go, you know, that'll kind of keep Verna, you know, kind of off beat here. And if Marina can keep getting back to her feet and avoiding these takedowns and even get stuck on her back, I think she'll be fine and can get a decision. I still think Marina's IQ is higher. So I'm going to pick Marina by unanimous decision in this one. I think she can strike her way to a decision. All right. Next fight here. This one's interesting, man. Jessica Andrade versus Yan Xianan. I know everybody's thinking this might be a title eliminator, but we'll see. This fight is interesting here. You know, Jessica Andrade has been on her flyweight run, but now she knows that she needs to go back to strawweight because the flyweights were getting too big, too thick, too strong. And last fight out, you know, was not a good fight for her. So she's making two changes, you know, that affected her performance last time out. She's going to be wearing a t-shirt this time, so we won't get any bra excuses, right? She's going to be wearing a t-shirt this time, and she's moving back down to 115. So that's good for her. All right. So going into this fight here, Yan Xianan, you know, I see a much improved Yan Xianan since her fight against Carla Esparza, you know. And that was the thing about Yan. She was very, very, you know, good kickboxer, you know, flashy at times. But every time she gets taken to the ground, she's just like a fish out of water, right? She's just like this fish out of water. So I want to see Yan Xianan in this fight against Jessica Andrade just controlling the outside. Somebody with Yan Xianan, the best game plan for her to use is the Joanna game plan. I mean, that'll never fail against Andrade. You know, she's short, doesn't have that long of a reach. And if you got the long reach, you got the speed, and you got a good jab, the jab is the key. I say that about every fight, but that's where it kind of starts for me. The jab is very important in these fights with these strikers. Like, once you blind somebody with the jab or use that jab to bust somebody up, you get a lot of respect. You know, once that jab stays in the face, everything else just falls into place. You know, leg, calf kicks, right hands, body shots. You know, so somebody like Yan Xianan needs to keep a rapid jab, piston-like jab in Jessica Andrade's face. Keep turning angles like Aaron Blanchfield did. Just, you know, keep circling. And number two is stand your ground. Now, don't trade, but stand your ground. And stand your ground means stay in that pocket, but move your head. Jessica Andrade swings wild, but if you land two good shots and keep her off balance and she comes back with one, turn the body, make her miss, and you stand that ground, that'll kind of frustrate her. You know, once you stay in that pocket a little bit, make her miss and come right back with the right hand, like Aaron Blanchfield was doing. Like, Aaron maybe ate one shot or two, but she would come back with her own. Or if she made Andrade miss, she was still in the pocket. Boom, she would catch her with her own shot. That made Andrade kind of think twice, because Andrade said, uh-oh, when I miss a shot, she's countering me. She's hitting me with hard punches. It's knocking me off balance. You know, now what's my game plan? So standing your ground instead of running is a very, very wiser game plan against these bully types. Also, angles. You know, angles, that's a big part of these type of fighters, you know, that are on their feet. You know, turning angles, making Andrade miss, you know, always, you know, shaking and breaking those ankles, you know, in these type of fighters. She's going to be running, looking for combinations. That's how Andrade does. Like, if she thinks she has you in range, she tries to land one shot, she's going to follow up now. That's her thing. She'll follow up with these shots. And I think she's kind of overhyping her own power at sometimes, because sometimes, you know, she'll think that once she lands one blow, she can come back with another hard shot or even harder shot. But at times her hands are kind of open. You know, and that's how Aaron was able to take some of the pressure off of these shots. Like, when she would throw one shot wild, she'd reach, and then Jessica Andrade would try to follow up with another, and there was no steam on it. There was no torque on it because, you know, she's off balance. So, again, angles are big for Yan Xianan. You know, use angles, jab, and just pure speed, and stay away from the cage. You know, stay away from the cage. Don't get in any type of cage fighting. Don't give her any opportunities. And I think she can do it. Yan Xianan has the ability to keep it standing, unlike the Carla fight, because, yeah, Carla's a lot more technical on the feet. You know, Carla, that was a different story. Like, she had lack of a ground game at the time, but Carla's more technical. You know, Carla sets her takedowns up, where Jessica, she can be a little bit sloppy and just use pure athleticism and power. But if you take all that away, she's almost helpless. Don't give her a clear target, she's almost helpless in there, right? That's how I see it, and that's how I see she's looking against stand-up fighters. All right, for Jessica Andrade, close distance early and work those calf kicks. This girl's got powerful calf kicks. I mean, whenever Jessica Andrade lands them, boy, you know, they move you. You know, Rose ate them. Lauren Murphy was eating them. Lauren Murphy was eating them. Boy, she was like getting stung. She was shocked when she couldn't even like plant her feet to get a jab off. It got her in respect mode. So getting y'all John's respect early is tearing that calf up. Tear the calf up, that slows it down for combinations upstairs. When she start tearing that calf up, body hit. That's how it falls into place, right? So simple for her, calf kicks, body shots, and then taking her to the cage, you know, taking her to the cage and wearing Yan Zhan on down. Because, you know, Yan's never fought somebody with this type of strength before. Well, anybody who fought Jessica Andrade for the first time, nobody's ever felt that type of power strength. Ask Lemos, right? You know, ask Claudia, ask Rose. But yeah, that's a simple game plan for Andrade. You know, just beat her, you know, tear her opponent down, be a little bit more controlled. Like, don't throw off balance. You know, put the combinations together in a much smarter way, like she's been doing. And keep her fist closed so she has more power to it and she can do more damage. Take some pages out of Carla's book, you know, be a little bit more calculated, you know, level drop and take this fight to the ground just to avoid, you know, even having to chase your opponent down. Just get her on the ground if you're physically stronger, but that's only if she can grapple at this pace. Because yeah, we haven't seen Andrade really grapple at this pace in a long time. You know, we haven't. And when she has grappled, she's got submitted. Valentina and Aaron. You know, she hasn't really spent too much time on the ground since the Claudia Gadelha fight, I believe. Correct me if I'm wrong now. Correct me if I'm wrong. All right. So if I had to pick in this fight, this one's like leaning towards Andrade a little bit more. Like it's almost 50-50, but going Andrade when she's at 115, you know, you can say her, but I'm gonna pick Yan in this fight. I want to see Yan Zhan on win this one because I just think that she's a different look for the champion. You know, I do want to see that China versus China deal. But yeah, however this turns out, I think we can expect it. But if Yan Zhana's got the IQ and an improved takedown defense and even clinch game, she might be able to use what Uriah Faber has taught her as far as like combining her wrestling and grappling to an extreme effect. Like I wouldn't be surprised if she'd be able to like reverse Andrade against the cage a few times and like throw her off or ragdoll her. And just push her off and go right back to the center and just start striking. You know what I mean? Like, I believe she might have that ability to do that, but we'll see. I'm rocking with Yan Zhan on in this fight. But yeah, guys, that's all I got on this one. Like I said, I'm gonna jump on tomorrow and do a fight companion. It's been a while since I've done one, right? And you know, we're gonna cover these strawweight fights. But yeah, let me know in the comment section who you got in these fights, Andrade or Yan Zhan on, or Marina versus. Or Marina or Jandaro, but let me know, guys, and just give me all thoughts on the other topics as well. So yeah, we also, you know, I'm gonna try to, you know, jump back on and do some more lives throughout the week. It's been a while, but you know, like I said, I've been busy. So yeah, just make sure y'all hit the like button and subscribe. Shout out to my subscribers, you know, everybody that continues to support and follow. You know, I know I've been gone a little bit, you know, here and there, but yeah, continue to support WMMA. You know, that's why I do this. All right, and subscribe to the show on all these other platforms. Like I said, I have to update my website so I can, you know, put all the episodes back on there again. You know, right now they're not up there. They're not updated all the way up to the current episode. But if you want to hear the current episode, just go to YouTube. You know, that's the best way to subscribe to me. That's where I'm always at. So yeah, just do that, guys, and I will catch y'all on the next one. Shout out to everybody in the comment section. And yeah, this one, of course, like I said, is going to be pre-recorded. If I didn't say that earlier, so I'm trying to get my man BJ on. Shout out No Field Tim in May. We're gonna try to do a live one. Shoot, we might have to do one on Sunday. Shoot, we could probably do one on Sunday or, you know, Saturday. Who knows, right? Just stay tuned for that because I'm gonna try to hit him up, and we'll try to get that scheduled, guys. So, like always, Combo Breaker 99. I'm out. Subscribe. Peace.